Alrighty. Before I start, Noel, how are you and are you staying for the night?
I am great health-wise. I got everything under control. The high blood sugar was an abnormality due to the operation. However, I'm not allowed to put weight on my left leg for 6 weeks. I'm going to be moved to Hackensack Prospect Heights nursing home tomorrow. Supposedly they're taking me out of here at 11:30, which will be a lot closer and more convenient for everybody, period. However, the 6 week limitation is going to be a bummer. Back to next. And to a...
Okay. Well, that's good. So are you going to stay for the night tonight? Are you going to stay for the night tonight, Noel? Alrighty. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon WTTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical man. Are there any stations with emergency or prairie traffic, please call KVAR-W2-TTT. Alrighty, very good. That's kind of the right answer to that question. Alrighty, well, pleased to hear that Noel's out and about, and doing a little bit better. Certainly his break has been set, and otherwise his health is in good order, which is great. Alrighty, so this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. That net, or this net, is on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, 146.955 megahertz repeater, or otherwise known as the Alpine 2-meter repeater. And this is about having a conversation with other amateur radio operators about amateur radio, art of doing it, electronics, electricity, communications, natural phenomena, how we apply it, how we've enjoyed it, old stories, new stories, pretty much our hobby is inherently technical, so even if we might not view it as being a technical topic, you're more than welcome to bring it up anyway. As long as it's related to the broad topics of amateur radio, etc. Having said that, we actually look forward to your checking in. Whether or not you have a question, whether or not you want to bring up a topic, whether or not you have a for sale or swap item, all of that is certainly welcome here. We'd like to know you're here, even if you don't have any of those things, because we might address the subject matter in a manner more consistent with your needs. So we hopefully we'll see you checking in, even if you don't have a question, comment, or for sale or for swap item. All right. This net is also available via Echolink on the K2 Foxtrot Juliet, K2 Foxtrot Juliet -L repeat link. On Echolink, K2 Foxtrot Juliet -L. So, let's start with an orderly way. Let's see how the check-in is happening on Echolink. Any stations on Echolink, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, tonight I guess Noel pops off. Alright, stations whose call sign begins with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, let's try, stations whose call signs begin with the, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Kilo.
82, CMS, Kilo, Delta 2, Charlie, Mike, Sierra.
Sorry, who was that, KD2 again?
KD2, CMS, Kilo, Delta 2, Charlie, Mike, Sierra. Roy from the club.
Good evening, Roy. KD2 CMS. K2BAR. Good for you. Any other kilos?
KD2 UNH, Paul Harrington Park,
summing it up.
Leaving Paul. Any other kilos? Station who just checked in, try it again.
This is K2ZO.
Good evening, James. What's your pleasure?
I just got in here. I don't have much in the way of any questions or comments right now, okay?
Okay, no problem. Any other kilos? Brady, let's go to the whiskeys.
K2 Juliet Echo Kilo.
Please, no questions or comments.
Okay, I got Charlie with no questions or no comments. Good evening, Charlie. And Don, I got you, but I didn't get what your pleasure might be.
I have a comment.
Roger, got your pending comment. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, name is Rick, with no questions or comments right now.
Okay, W2LCN, Rick, I got you. Who was the other station who doubled with you? Alright, was there another station? Alrighty. Okie doke. Let's go to the next thing. Any other whiskeys? Alright. And the Novembers. Okay, any station, any call sign. Please call KTVAR. Alrighty, well, we'll make the best of it here. Mr. Don, your comment, sir. K2BAR.
Hi, K2BAR, Nanette, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Tomorrow night is the VE testing session, 7 p.m. at the high school. With that, back to net, W2JEK.
Very good. Anybody have any questions for Don about this test session or other test sessions?
I have a question, not about that, but unrelated. This is W2R.
Go right ahead, Charlie.
Now, my question concerns a mysterious case of what I think is RFI affecting my laptop computer, which is most of the time connected to Verizon through a wireless network in the house. Lately it's become very bulky, and sometimes it connects, sometimes it's very slow to engage with the wireless router. However, if I move it across the room, it works fine. The trouble is I don't want to move it across the room. Does any of this make sense, and is there any remedy? Both Verizon and Apple have said it was interference. Anyway, any comments would be appreciated.
Okay, the way I got it was that your Apple device or computer is a little sluggish in engaging the Wi-Fi access point on your Fios router. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, exactly.
Alright. And what do you experience in that regard?
Sometimes it takes a long time to connect. Sometimes it takes so long that I give up. And sometimes it works right away. I know the device works because I took it to the Apple Store where it connected to their network right away. And other devices in the shack is where it works. Connect to the router. Back to that.
Yeah, what security protocol are you using? Charlie, what security protocol are you using? your signal's up and down like a yo-yo. So are you suggesting that your ham radio is causing delays in the ability to sync up the device with the Wi-Fi hotspot? If that's the case, what's peculiar about the Apple? Do you have another Apple device of any kind, even like an iPod or something like that?
The only thing that's on at this, during the time that this occurs is my Android phone. The ham radio equipment is off, and there is no other Apple device.
And your Android phone has trouble getting in?
No, it does not.
Okay. So, I'm trying to wrap my brain around what could be different. My gut feeling is it's probably something related to there's a recovery dialog with the initialization dialog that Apple uses to talk to Wi-Fi hotspots.
Connected N2OEL.
Noel, we'll get you in a minute. So, what kind of Apple machine do you have? Do you have the current software on it? Or did you recently do an upgrade of the software?
The software was not changed. We ran a software upgrade after this trouble appeared. So I don't think that had anything to do with it. I did that on the advice of the Apple tech and who worked with me over the phone. Didn't seem to help.
Okay. Very mysterious. But it does, most of the time it ultimately will connect?
If I wait long enough, sometimes I can't swear to it because sometimes I've just given up or moved the computer and then it connects. So I think it eventually connects, but I can't swear that it always will.
That sounds very peculiar, but the sense I'm getting is that your system is just not set right for whatever reason. I'm just trying to pin down what the setting might be that could set this thing off into space. I'm just not quite fathoming that, to say the least. I'm not much of a Mac guy either, which doesn't help. But same software. Well, you recently upgraded subsequent to all this nonsense occurring. And you moved the computer into a better place, and that seems to give you the impression that it's then able to sync up and get on with the business at hand. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. And I should say that it was suggested by both Mac people and Apple people and Verizon people on the phone. I spent, I don't want to say many hours, but a number of hours with them, that the problem was interference from other RF devices somewhere, but they're not here because I don't have anything on at the time.
Okay, well, have you tried looking at the LAN with either that device or the RF frequencies and see if there's another strong Wi-Fi access point on the same frequency, on the same channel, or on any of the adjacent channels?
Yeah, I don't know how to tell. There are a number of them that show up on a list. I don't know the relative strength. One of the Verizon techs said she changed the channel that I was operating on. I'm not sure
how they're worked out, but I don't know if that helps, but that's what she told me, and it didn't seem to help.
Well, yeah, probably is unclear to her. She was just flying blind to just blindly changing channels. It doesn't quite cut it in a lot of venues. I mean, that's an interesting approach, but I think the right answer is to is perhaps to scan the environment and see what channels there are and what channels are in use by what. I've made a habit of avoiding one of my neighbors for that reason. You know, talking to them about changing frequencies is ridiculous. I'm more likely to be a good ham radio operator. If I called up and said, "Hey, your Wi-Fi is interfering," that they would start to laugh and still come at me for my ham radio stuff. So I'm going to say I'm not going to do that.
Okay, this is not the worst problem in the world, obviously. I just like the way that things... I should say that the system worked for well over a year with no problem, and the problem suddenly emerged. So, we'll keep plugging away, and hopefully it'll solve itself.
Perhaps. Anybody have any thoughts other than... Yeah, since he's a Mac guy, I don't have any ideas on what software you could use to go scan the frequencies and capture signal strength and things like that, but maybe if someone does, there's plenty of PC software for that. Anybody have any thoughts? I'm sorry, Charlie, but you got to scan the frequencies. I mean, you might just try moving. Do you know what channel you were on and what channel you're on now?
No, I do not.
I'm not looking to send you back to the same channel where you were having problems before, but that certainly would be an answer, is to start swapping frequencies and just see until you get one that works better. That's what I would recommend at this point. I mean, 1, 6, and 11 are the common frequencies. You need to go one or two off from those, from the outer ones, you know, use 3 and 9. That might help as well. Over.
Okay, Gordon. I suppose the frequencies have to be changed at both ends, the router and the computer?
You can change the router, the computer will find it.
Okay, so I just need to figure out how to change the frequency on the router. The Verizon tech was about to walk me through it, but then she said it would be easier if she did it. So I'll explore that. I do have to say one thing about Verizon is I always get somebody to answer the phone. They don't always help me, but they try. So that's appreciated.
CMS. I'd like to hit her feet a little bit if I could, please.
I'm sorry, what was that, Roy?
I was going to suggest that perhaps there could be a problem with the router itself.
That could be. But I would start by changing your frequency on your router, Charlie.
Yeah, okay, thanks for the advice. The thought had crossed my mind that something might be wrong with the router. That could be, things do go bad. So, I would kind of tend to doubt that because the other devices work, including a PC in the same room as the Mac. But it is a possibility. Okay, I will explore it. I just thought I'd bring it up since there were some question that was worth banging around in my mind, and we didn't seem to have too much action on the net tonight, so appreciate all comments. This is WE2R.
Charlie, that's a good question, even when we have a busy net, okay? So just keep that in mind next time. Don't just sit on questions. And it's a general bit of advice for everybody. You know, if you have a question for the net, then let's get it out there. Ray, did you want to add any more?
I was just thinking that there could be a problem with the router, maybe with the sensitivity of it, maybe you could change the router or borrow a different one and see if that helps. That would be the simplest thing to do, I would think. 82 to the MS. 2 EIR.
Go ahead, Allie.
On the handy talkie tonight. On this problem, I've had something similar. I've never found the problem, but I find that rebooting the router helps. And I suspect also that, you know, we leave these things often in the same place, or sometimes we stack them, one router on top of another, you know, the wireless on top of the regular one or other equipment. And heat is the problem. And orientation of the antenna on the wireless router can be a problem. So I suggest generally three things. One, that you reboot. Number two, feel it and see how hot it is and see if you can reposition it. And number three, check the orientation of the antenna and what's around it. That's my 2 cents, K2VIR.
Now we're cooking. Yeah, and you might also find out that it's just dirty. You just need to clean the damn thing. So that's another element that can introduce heat and cause problems or even electrostatic problems that are just odd. And, you know, maybe one machine is just a little touchier about it than others. So, you know, anybody else with a good comment? Or not? Any comment?
That was interesting about the heat. It just occurred to me that the problem appeared with the cold weather, and there might be more heat being pumped out by a nearby radiator. Might be as simple as that. I'll check that tomorrow.
I'll give it a good cleaning, too. I mean, don't be afraid to pop it open and clean the beast, okay?
Cleaning, huh? Okay.
Be amazed what happens when you remove dust. Be absolutely amazed.
All right, so I have some avenues to pursue, and I appreciate the help.
EIR query.
Go ahead, Howie.
Relevant to this, so good suggestion, Gordon. What's the best way to clean or, you know, eliminate dust that had settled into an electronic board?
Boy, it's not a fun topic. Well, there are a couple of answers to that. One is to simply open it up and vacuum it out. That's one. Another is to use pressurized air, but don't do it while it's powered up, because a lot of those canned air things have a little bit of moisture in them. You don't want to create a short or create a weird operating condition while it's running. But that's also a good answer. And then, let's see, what else is on the agenda there? Dusting it off with alcohol or some sort of board cleaner is fine. Just nothing that's going to be harsh, you know. But those are the normal methods. Over.
Roger. I always have some trepidation when I do this. You know, am I going to cause more harm than good? Thank you. K2VIR.
Alrighty. Anybody else have any suggestions for how to clean boards, you know, or computers or whatever? Get the junk out.
N2NBR.
N2NBR, go ahead. I use for especially something that lacks in contact capability, something called CRC-226. It's a plastic-safe, multi-purpose precision lubricant.
Interesting sounding device. So again, the name?
Made by a company called CRC, and it's a spray. As I say, it's plastic-safe, multi-purpose precision lubricant. I've been doing it for years. Again, as you suggest, don't do it while it's powered up.
That's usually not good for it, yeah. Okay, very good. So CRC offers a cleanser. Interesting. All right. This is interesting. I've got the power unplugged on my computer, and the light is on the front panel of the computer itself. The little light that's next to the drive. I bet you have a ground loop somewhere. Can't touch this one. Alrighty. Any other suggestions for cleaning? Alrighty. Well, I guess our next answer is going to be for someone who might want to clean out an RF deck. Very often there's an allied question to this one, and that is to use some sort of component cooler, usually contact cleaner or something like that, in the conduct of clearing out problems with the radio. Again, I can tell you from personal experience, pardon me, that doing that with a live radio can lead to the demise of the radio. You go from a dysfunctional state to a dead state, and that can be a real bummer. So I caution you to be thoughtful and careful when doing that. Alrighty. Anybody else on this topic? Okay. Alrighty. Well, let's see. Any other check-ins for the net tonight? Alrighty. Last week we had a conversation, at least for a bit, about the use of the DVB-T receiver, a little USB dongle that's meant for digital video broadcast terrestrial television. In other parts of the world, that people have turned into essentially a spectrum analyzer and the like. I can tell you that the article, which was in the January 2013 QSD, was absolutely marvelous in its thoroughness. But I can tell you that there are others out there. I have a two-page quick start guide. Basically, one is where to get all the resources of installation and how to do it, and the other is when you start it up, how to configure it real quick so you can actually get some results that are useful. So I do have those. If anyone wants to shoot me an email, I'll be happy to send them a copy of those two files. Any questions about the DVB-T receiver, which, by the way, goes from about 60 megahertz to at least 1700 megahertz over? Okay. The other topic we've been talking about, recently is the use of DHF FM radios or UHF FM radios to set up and communicate PSK-31, MT-63, and other digital modes. A lot of us are using MT63-2000 or 2000 hertz, what do you call it, MT63 centered at 1500 kilohertz, or 1500 hertz, pardon me, 1500 hertz, and going from 500 to 2500, and it works really, really well. And there's a question as to whether or not some of these Chinese radios or the THF-6, the Kenwood, which have a box function, whether we could use that box function and save ourselves all sorts of pain. And the answer in short is yes. So here's the scoop. Now we have to get a few more test cases going, but Jim set it up. Jim W2JC set his up to transmit at minus 15 dBm from his computer, and he took a stereo 1/8 inch jack from his audio out and jammed it in. And jammed it into the corresponding microphone plug on the Galfun UV5R, which basically was connectorized like a Kenwood, and it transmitted just fine. On the receive, he made one small adjustment. He had the audio coming in from that little plug, and then he broke that through a an isolation transformer, 600 ohm, you know, doesn't have to be center tap, just isolation transformer, and then into the 1/8 inch mic input of the computer. So again, I have smart work on that if you're interested, but to his liking, it was literally that simple. And if someone wants to go up on 444 .1 and send a message, you're welcome to anytime. Just do a voice ID first, just to let people know you're there. And Jim and maybe a few other people have stations up and listening, looking for MT63-2000 traffic. So that's the tale of goodness. Anybody try the MT63 or anything like that recently? Over. Alrighty. Any other questions for the net tonight?
No questions, but I do have comments.
Go with your comments, Noel. Go ahead, Noel.
So anyway, yes, it's $50 basically for the cable and the antenna, and it's approximately 30 inches long, appears to be well made, has no name on it. Am I getting...
Noel, you're not holding it for whatever reason. You're only getting little bits and pieces of some of your transmissions over.
That's funny. I'm running off the ATP network, and I have like 5 hours. The second comment concerns the DC power system. There's a board, just like there is on the AC board of a house, that has two humongous DC wires coming off the house batteries, and a whole bunch of connectors in the back. Derek's hooked up three pair of 10 gauge wire that they say will carry 30 amps each. And we're going to put them in with 25 amp fuses in parallel. Those are already in. I'm going to put Henderson power poles on them, which I didn't do yet, and then direct that to a 400 watt sine wave inverter. So this way I can run the radio, any of the normal home radios, because what do you use? 12 amps and 13.8 volts approximately on transmit on sideband, and how much more on So I figure out, even with my waste of 15-20%, I'm converting DC to DC from, DC to AC, from 12 volt to 120, then down converting with a standard power supply, 120 AC to 1320 DC, I'll have a good solid power supply. I won't burn out anything, and I think the system will do it and hold up very well for several hours of time. I would be doing maximum transmitting before I started up the engine. I had problems receiving, so I took myself off the local Wi-Fi. It didn't want to go through directly. It didn't want to transmit my access ports in here, so I just went back to AT&T and used AT&T's ports.
Noel, your transmissions were intermittent at best. We didn't get much of that. Tell you what, why don't you make one comment and solicit response just to make sure, one at a time, okay? All right, I don't know what's going on here, but are there any other comments for the net tonight? Well, I guess not. So I wish everybody a good evening. I wished we had a little more chatter on the net tonight. But that's what happens sometimes. You know, one week it's really, really super good, and next week it's not so super good. So as of now, I will be here next week, so therefore I will not be traveling. Therefore, the concern I expressed about not having a net control for next week is no longer a problem. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for the use of the repeater. Thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Company's repeater. Thank everybody for checking in and being a part of the net tonight. God bless and take care. This is WNTTTT for KPBA, Alpha Clear. Bye.
N2OEL timeout. Thank you.